Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Microsoft's Corporate Vice President, Data Platform, TK Ranga Rangarajan.
Good morning. Good morning. Wow, that video is so inspiring in so many levels. The thing that's most attractive to me is the aspect of data. I never thought the products that we would make here would keep a writer safe, would keep a writer achieve levels that she thought was not possible. This is fantastic. We're seeing effects like this with data in our customers in so many improbable places. We have Aerocrine in Sweden. They have asthma devices, devices that help patients cope with asthma when they need it in an emergency. They have these devices wired up for a long time in an IoT setting. These devices produce data. These guys watch it all the time. And they call their customers. When they see the earliest signs, machine learning predicting that maybe something may be going wrong, they call their customers and schedule an appointment for predictive care of their instruments. No privacy issues, but customers, you can imagine how thankful they are. We have another customer, Ziosk, in an entirely different setting, in a restaurant. They suggest to customers what were the favorite things that they may be interested in attempting. They try to make every meal a wonderful experience for their customers. All sorts of improbable places where customers get value from data. They seem to be doing very smart things, very valuable things with data. So today I want to talk to you about turning data into intelligent action. The way we think about this is this data that comes from all sorts of places, this data that's born in the apps, that's sort of one standard pattern. Another big pattern that's emerging is IoT, data coming from sensors and devices. And data comes from other places as well. And they come in, they need to be landed where it's most appropriate for them, assembled, organized, governed, be able to put it in stores that are appropriate for the type of data, then be able to analyze them, run machine learning models, train the models, use the models, perhaps do fraud detection on the fly, or human visual insights, which all leads to intelligent action. And this is the pattern that we have. Let me take you through three parts of this. The first part, I'll take you through apps and how the apps are supported with data of different forms, different scales. Then I'll talk you through sensors and devices, IoT scenario. And then I'll talk about analytics world. We have some exciting announcements. We think we're on the threshold of something very exciting. So the first step is apps. You heard about apps that are scalable, built in the cloud. These are apps that are unlike anything before. They use services as appropriate for the apps. They get data from multiple places. And they have data that needs to be stored in multiple formats. First, there's the standard relational format, whether it's operational store or warehouse or anything like that, OLAP, columnar store, in-memory, optimized, all sorts of data that's relational. Then there is the NoSQL data, data that doesn't conform to any pattern. It keeps changing all the time. It keeps evolving very rapidly because of the nature of the world that we live in. It's a mobile-first, cloud-first world. The world is changing rapidly. You need systems that change with this world. And then the favorite search. Can you imagine an application without search? And so that's another pattern. Now, the same data that's structured, highly structured, not structured, are all expected to be available from the search slot. Now, we have very scalable systems. In Azure, we have SQL DB, which is the world's fastest database, now running triple redundant for every copy, 4 nines availability, and that's worldwide. You heard about our worldwide deployment today. NoSQL, Document DB, the same. Azure Search, the same. And so these are sort of basics. Let me take you through a little bit more of the scaling aspects of this. Azure SQL Database offers very simple scale-up options. You take a slider and move it through three service tiers: basic tier, standard tier, and a premium tier. You can go increase the capacity that your application needs by 350 times by just moving the slider. And you get charged for exactly what you use. And this is a fantastic opportunity. It is fully in your control, and you can do that. And this is just for starters, where just each one of these things is triple redundant appropriately. The next step that you want to do is scale out. In the cloud, you want to be prepared for incredible growth, incredible flexibility in your business, distribution of your business. And so one popular pattern is to have the data partitioned into shards. Shards sometimes representing individual customers, representing areas, any which way that you want. These shards, each of them can be elastic. They can be growing or shrinking in their resource needs. And what we have announced is the ability to pool them. And these pools enable you to grow and shrink within a budget for a certain number of databases. And so we just recently announced a premium pool. The scale-out option with these pools is very convenient for the cloud design center for applications. The last thing I mentioned was the data warehouse. We are making available the expanded preview of the world's first elastic data warehouse. The data warehouse capacity for compute and storage can be scaled independently of each other. So you have a month-end job, you want to be able to dedicate more resources to the job, you can scale up and pay for only the usage that you use of the compute. For the same data, you can scale up or down just the compute. Now, this is integrated with Hadoop, so you can access data that's in Hadoop into the data warehouse. You can move data, for example, into data warehouse. You can pause and resume with the full, same flexibility that you have. And you can also reach into data that's on-premise because it's built in the same core SQL Server technologies. And we are very excited by the possibilities. Of course, you know, we can extract insights from that. There's a direct connect from Power BI into SQL Data Warehouse. And you can run machine learning models on the data in the data warehouse. And this is a very exciting combination for us. And we're very pleased to have the expanded public preview. A case in point is our customer Stackify. They're in the APM, Application Performance Management business. They look at data in applications. They help customers troubleshoot performance, correctness issues in applications. And so they have a large number of customers. They have bet on Azure, and they want to expand, contract their business individually for customers across geographic regions in a very flexible manner. And they have found elastic pools to be incredibly valuable to them, because they can, at a moment's notice, they can provide more resources for scale up of their databases, or they can pack more of these databases that are offsetting each other into elastic pools. And they have thousands of databases like this. They support multiple customers with varying needs over time. And so the variations over time are automatically handled by the system. And so this is a fantastic example of how a very savvy partner is using the capabilities that are elastic, that are available in the system. So this is the world of applications, data supporting applications at scale that are very modern, using all the new capabilities of data. Let me come back to the original picture, give you the context. We talked about apps. Now we talk about sensors and devices. So we are familiar with this. We're more familiar, perhaps, with the consumer aspects of these sensors, the new temperature sensors, Fitbit, and you know, Band, and all sorts of things that has made IoT popular. But the fact is, for years, we have had industrial machinery bristling with sensors. These sensors have been emitting data for a long time, and we just didn't have the cloud, the hardware and software capabilities to process all that information in a flexible way. Now we have that available. So let's take a look at that world of IoT. The opportunity is huge. You know, analysts are predicting 25 billion sensors, connected things, devices. More connected things than people. We have 3 connected things per person by 2020. I think that's an underestimate. I'm carrying 3 connected things perhaps myself. It's a fantastic world, lots of data coming through. It's a huge economic benefit. And it comes in all sorts of places. You see these icons here talking about, you know, vending machines, connected cars, you know, connected processing industries, all sorts of places where data is already pouring out, and we have this available. So that's the big opportunity in IoT. Let's take a look at what a customer does with IoT. Very different world of IoT than perhaps what you imagine. Rockwell Automation, let's roll the video.
From some of the most remote places on Earth, through countless miles of pipeline, to the corner gas station, the oil and gas supply chain operates 24 hours a day. I'm Gary Pearsons with Rockwell Automation. To meet the global demand for fuel, we're transforming the way we do business by harnessing the power of the Internet of Things. The equipment our customers use for extracting, moving, refining, and selling fuel is the heart of the supply chain. Our solutions enable unprecedented efficiency by bringing the data generated by even the most remote assets into the cloud, driving business insights and evolving an entire industry. On oil drilling platforms off Alaska's coast, submersible pumps are critical to production. Rockwell Automation remotely monitors the medium voltage drives used to power the pumps, alerting our customers to potential issues or failures in real time, and providing remote troubleshooting that reduces costly downtime. Across miles of rugged terrain, massive pieces of measurement equipment known as metering skids track the movement of oil in real time. What was once paper-based is now an exacting system that creates immediate electronic records, allowing us to achieve new heights in operational intelligence. And at fueling stations all over the world, our solution continually monitors inventory and performance of the pumping system, meeting the growing demand for clean, liquid natural gas. Data visibility across the entire supply chain enables insights that help our customers orchestrate everything from deliveries to equipment maintenance, ultimately creating a better fueling experience for drivers. Driving exceptional efficiency, innovating in the cloud, and enabling the connected enterprise. That's why Rockwell Automation chose Microsoft.
Now there, it's what you think of as a very different industry and what's an established industry, but they are taking advantage of the IoT systems that we are developing today to manage infrastructure they've had for a long time. So this is a fantastic world. The way we are thinking about in terms of principles for IoT, is in sort of 3 areas. The first, you know, be able to connect and manage and control large numbers of devices that is future-proof. You know, existing devices, future devices, be able to handle the data needs of these different types of devices in a uniform way. Second is to do all the processing, analytics, insights, controls, all of this in very standard ways without having to change it for every new type of device that's coming into the market. And the third is, as much as possible, see patterns and create pre-configured solutions for these patterns so that it's easier and easier to wire up an IoT solution. So this is sort of our sort of an investment principle. So let me announce today that we have available for purchase the IoT suite. It has the 3 elements that I discussed. The first one is to be able to handle these devices and sensors, be able to do command and control to them, bi-directional. Second is data. Data comes in, be able to handle the appropriate data, the type of data in different places, be able to create insights and dashboards from them. And the third is to be able to integrate that in pre-configured solutions with existing workflow processes. You can imagine some devices showing early signs of malfunction, so you can do predictive maintenance on these devices. You can see how familiar patterns start to fit in different places. And so this is available for purchase today. To give us a glimpse of this, let me invite my colleague Bharat to come and show us a little bit of the IoT suite.
Thank you, Ranga. So I'm very excited here to share with you how you can get started with Azure IoT Suite. Now, as Ranga mentioned, we've been working with many customers for the last many years, and we've actually identified some common patterns that we've observed again and again in these implementations. The way Rockwell will connect to oil pumps and the way ThyssenKrupp will connect to an elevator, there are a lot of commonalities there. The way you would connect the device, the way you would stream the data off the devices to do analysis and take intelligent action, we can take advantage of that. Having also worked with many other customers, we've seen that some projects can take a long time to get started. We've seen 3 months to even a year of lead time. So our number one goal with Azure IoT Suite is to help you get started in minutes. We want to dramatically reduce the time it takes for you to begin your IoT journey. At the same time, we want to give you the platform that can scale and expand to your needs, no matter how big your IoT project is. So let me show you how we do that. So on the screens, you can basically see that today we are launching a remote monitoring solution. We're calling these pre-configured solutions. The patterns that we spoke about, we've codified them. And basically, this allows you to get started extremely quickly within minutes. Within a few weeks, we'll also be launching a predictive maintenance solution. So I've actually gone ahead and already created, let me sign back in, already created a remote monitoring solution that we'll walk through. So imagine the scenario that you are an industrial air conditioning equipment manufacturer. Your business traditionally has been selling these air conditioning units to your customers. You want to expand and provide more service to your customers. You want to transform your business, and you want to provide remote monitoring service to these customers. So this is a good use case where this customer would then come to Azure IoT Suite and start with a remote monitoring solution. So what you can see on the screen is, as they log in, as they create the solution, which they can create in minutes, they are automatically getting all the power of Azure. Here you can see a map that we provide that can be used to place the assets. On the right-hand side, you see live data coming in from all the devices that are connected or can be connected. On the bottom half, you see some alarms and alerts. This is where we're taking the advantage of Azure, all the rich analysis in it, to help you do real-time streaming processing. So you can detect for alerts and events in real time and show action, show them on the dashboard or take some other action. So this is what you get out of the box. Now, naturally, with IoT, you have devices. So you need to connect devices. To help you get started very quickly, these pre-configured solutions ship with some sample devices. However, you can go in and add new device. You can choose to add another sample device, or you can choose to add a real device. And every time you add a device, we make a unique ID of this device. Now, this is very important. With Azure IoT Suite, you can connect up to millions of devices simultaneously. With this device identity, you have full control on each and every device. You know exactly which device is connected, you know which data is coming from which device, and in a similar fashion, you can send back commands to us in a very secure and particularly defined fashion. Of course, if you don't want to have a device connected, you can remove it. Now, if you look at this list, you actually might recognize some names like Intel and Freescale and Texas Instruments and some other ones. Our goal also with Azure IoT Suite is to help you connect your devices, whether these are existing devices or new devices. A lot of value is being unlocked actually with customers when they connect their existing devices. And these devices could be installed for many, many years. So we want to be able to provide you ability and technology to connect these devices and assets, no matter what operating systems and protocols they use. So today we support a wider variety of protocols and operating systems. And later on, we'll be expanding these as we go forward. For those of you who are starting a new project and maybe looking to start a new device or pick a new device and looking for guidance, we also have you covered. We are partnering with a partners here, as you can see, from Texas Instruments to Intel and others, to certify the devices. This way, you can be sure when you connect to these devices, they will work with Azure IoT Suite. You have maximum reliability, your maximum flexibility to choose the right device for your project, and you have maximum confidence knowing that these devices will work. Now, if I go back to the dashboard, I quickly glossed over the fact that we can stream data at very high speeds and do real-time processing to detect alerts. That's good, but that's one part of the equation. You also want to be able to take action on the alerts and events that you've detected. So Azure IoT Suite integrates with your backend systems. Whether you have an SAP system, an Oracle system, a Dynamics system, or anything else, we can connect with these systems to help you automate business processes. For example, if you detect a particular machine has malfunctioned, you can go in and actually ask or create a ticket automatically for a field technician to go in and service that particular device. In another way, you can also order replacement parts if you need to. So what I've shown you very quickly is how you get started literally in minutes with your IoT projects. You get a great play base to build from. But this is just a starting point. This is not the end point. This allows you to get started in minutes with your IoT project. But from here, you can build and expand on. If you go to the Azure Management Portal, you will see we will create a resource group for every solution you build. So what that means is you have access to each and every capability I spoke about and the ones I didn't cover, and all the services that are used in the solution. So you have control on each and every single facet, so you can expand any service or any missing component that's not there that you need for your solution. You can easily add that in. So for example, commonly we see customers always customizing the dashboard to make it more relevant for their business. So in this case, you can come and customize a web job. You can change the way devices connect and the scale that they connect with by going to that particular component. Or if you have your own rules and you don't want to define new rules, you can go to the rules component, ViewStream Analytics in this case, and go ahead and actually change the query here or actually put your own query in. So this way, we allow you to get started extremely fast, but still give you all the capability to expand the system to really meet your needs. We've done the hard work of building infrastructure, so you don't have to work on that. We've done the hard work so you can focus on your project, on your devices, on the data that these devices generate, and the key insights these devices can unlock to help you transform your business. Thank you.
Thank you, Bharat. We talked about apps. We talked about IoT. Let me switch now to my favorite subject, analytics. We talked about different types of data, apps, IoT. There's the log data. There's the sentiment data. There's data that's locked up in different clouds, data that's on-premise in SQL servers, data marts. All this data needs to be correlated in some intelligent manner. What we need is a worldwide distributed infrastructure that scales to all your data needs. So today I'm pleased to announce the Azure Data Lake. It is a completely managed service. It can handle data of different characteristics, different sizes, different speeds. It makes it very easy for everyone to be productive on day one. You simply worry about your data and the processing you need and forget about the infrastructure. You simply tune for parallelism. You take the IP that you have, that you've always had, and be able to mix and match that with the processing capabilities of this big data solution. And it's based on Hadoop standards. It is based on three components that you see in the picture here. First is a store, second is an analytics service, and third is the SG Insight that you know and love. Let me take you through each one of them. The store, Azure Data Lake Store, is a hyperscale store. It can handle all the data types, as I mentioned. It doesn't have any fixed limits. That means it's designed to scale ad infinitum. I'm sure we will have more and more investments in technologies to continue to keep up with exabytes of data. It can not only handle large volumes of high throughput data, but it can also handle ingest of large amounts of small amounts of data. So it's a very fast transactions. It's again available through HDFS as the standard interface so that it can handle any HDFS compatible application on top. So we have our own parts of the data lake, analytics service and HD Insight running on it. We also have our partners running on it. Everybody benefits from having data accessible to the data lake, either in the data lake or accessible to it. And of course, this store is secure. It's integrated with all the enterprise things that you know and love. And this is hyperscale. So this is the store. The second is the analytics service. The service is completely infrastructure concealing, as it were. It is a distributed analytics service. You simply don't have to worry about infrastructure. You simply dial for scale. It's based on, again, Hadoop standards, Apache Yarn. What we have done is to take a familiar T-SQL and extended it for the big data kinds of processing that we have seen. In particular, being able to take the expressive power of custom code, anything that you have written that you use in your business, we can take that. We can intersperse that with SQL and then run it over petabytes of data. And we can automatically parallelize for you. You just don't worry about clusters. You don't worry about machines, virtual machines, what deployment, what's up, what's down, what failed in the middle of the query. All of that is handled automatically for you. And of course, it works with familiar tools. So you don't have to learn new tricks to be able to use this big data service. This is the analytics service. And the third part is HD Insight. Today, I'm pleased to announce the general availability of HD Insight on Linux. We've been working with our partners, Hortonworks, for a while to provide HD Insight, and it supports the full stack of Hadoop. And now we bring the Linux service to general availability with working with Ubuntu as well. And so this is an important moment for us. We continue to be committed to the Hadoop infrastructure, Hadoop standards, and bring all of this forward. So the data lake is very exciting for us. The HD Insight is available today. The store and the analytics service will be available in preview later this year. Now, we talked about analytics, the big data stack, the data lake. Now, this is part of a larger suite that we call the Cortana Analytics Suite. Satya announced that recently. Now, if you think about the big data world, in addition to the big data world, we have the information processing to take data, make data available from anywhere to this world. We have machine learning to do predictive analytics. That is added in. And we have Power BI and the visualization capabilities, and that's added in. And then pre-configured solutions. Whenever we see a pattern, we want to make it easier and easier for anyone to repeat that pattern. We have the technologies in Azure to be able to can that, make that available as a template. Now, all of this is the capabilities. And then in the aspect of human interactions, we're bringing in Cortana. We're bringing in perceptual intelligence, ability to recognize faces, recognize speech, and all those capabilities that we have in the company. We're bringing all of that to bear to create one integrated suite that can handle all of your analytics needs. Now, to give us a little glimpse of this world, let me invite David Ings, CTO of VMOP. Welcome, David.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. Thank you, Runga. I'm hoping to show you how to put all of these great technologies to use in the real world. VMob is an intelligent personalization platform. We are running 100% on Azure. We're a SaaS platform that runs behind a lot of the technology that McDonald's Japan uses to attract customers to their physical stores and incentivize them with offers and content to things like their mobile phones. So we understand who the customer is and what they want, and we deliver content to them in that format. And we also work with IoT, so things like digital signage. So we're delivering the content that's perfect for that customer to get them into that store. And you can see there just an example of an offer in Japan. And this might be targeted specifically to you based on your demographic, the weather outside, your social profile, and a lot of other variables. So what I'd like to do is just show you the digital sign that we have as well. And the digital sign that we're working on effectively has a sensor. You can see on the screen there, we've got things like gender. It's got a camera, which we'll show you later on in the demonstration. We've got the temperature, humidity, all of that type of information. And that's connected to the IoT suite, and all of that's being streamed live. The actual image has been sent to the Cortana Analytics suite, where it's actually detecting things like gender and age and that type of process. So I'd like to show you what's actually running in the background in the Azure portal for this. So what we can see in the Azure portal for McDonald's Japan effectively is the ability for us to scale up with our P11 database there. So that means, for example, if McDonald's Japan says, hey Dave, next week we're going to run very heavy advertising for the mobile app, we can very quickly scale up and scale down to accommodate those needs. And that relational database is fantastic for just the core data, what the adverts are, the customer data, and that type of information. Now, we don't only work with these very big markets. We might also have Europe, for example. And in Europe, we've got 8 different databases for 8 different regions. So in that context, we don't necessarily want to dedicate a P11 database to all of those regions. And retail, especially in quick service restaurant industry, is very lumpy during the day. Lunchtime rush, evening rush, when mobile phones get a push message, you get these massive spikes in that type of behavior. So what we can do with these 8 databases is we can actually use the Elastic Database Pool technology to actually put them all inside one pool. And what you can see here is effectively the green line shows that the average utilization for these databases is actually quite low. So what we do is we put all 8 of these inside the Elastic Pool. The price you see over there is for the single pool, not on a per database basis. But also we can protect these different markets from one database spiking. So we can limit each individual database to 500 EDTUs, but we're actually giving them a total of 1,500 EDTUs that are shared between the entire pool. Now, database is not the only thing that we deal with. With the mobile apps, we've got 16 million customers in Japan using the mobile apps. And with that, we get around 8,000 activities per second streaming through to our system. These activities could be button clicks, impressions, redemptions, somebody arrived at a store location, a beacon impression. And all of this was streaming through into blob storage currently. And blob storage is a fantastic way to permanently store a huge amount of data. And you can see here we've got around 207 terabytes of data from these environments. Now, if any of you have tried to run queries against terabytes of blob storage, it's pretty hard. And the other thing is we kind of call it the big tape drive in the sky. It's great for storage, but it's very painful to actually move and manipulate that data until Data Lake comes along and provides us with these environments. So what we have here for our example demonstration is we've got a 26 terabyte TSV file with a whole bunch of these activities. What we're going to do is we actually want to query against this data. So what we effectively want to do is we want to mine that data to understand what types of customers are actually looking at the offers. So what are the most successful offers for what age and what gender of customer based on location? So we want to mine that data to improve our digital signage to give better offers to the customers that it means more to them. So the first thing you'll see here is we're in Visual Studio. So it's a simple plug into Visual Studio, and we can access the the Data Lake Store and Data Lake Analytics. Now, the other important thing about this is effectively Data Lake can support both structured and unstructured data. So unstructured, we've got the TSV file just sitting there. What we're going to do in the first step is effectively extract that TSV file and put it into a structured format to make it a bit easier to query. Now, I'm not going to run this, but I'll show you what the job actually looks like. Effectively, there is a slider, and this is a magic slider. Historically, we'd do things like run a single process against this, or we'd have to set up quite heavy data science tools to run against this. What we simply do is we can slide up to 1,000 levels of parallelism, and we simply hit OK. Now, what that's doing is it's actually deciding to break this up into 1,000 parallel processes to actually run this job. And if we look down inside the query, we can actually see with this USQL, it actually looks very similar to standard SQL. But more than that, we can actually see that we can actually use .NET, and we can actually make some references. So inside our activity store, one of the columns in our TSV file is actually a JSON object. So the data scientists sometimes sigh and go, oh, now we've got to unpack the JSON again and leverage that. But with Data Lake, we can basically query this, use a simple .NET function to extract out that column, filter it down, and when we run this, I'm going to show you what the process will actually look like. So this is something I've run a bit earlier because it's taken an hour, 1.8 hours to actually run this job against the 23 terabyte file. And as you can see in here, it breaks down the different jobs that took place. So let's have a look at this one. So it says there were 30,000 vertices. That's effectively a unit of work. And you can get up to that 1,000 units of work happening concurrently in this. That took around 1.1 minute to conclude. And what we look at here is effectively there were 14 terabytes of read, 14 terabytes of write, and you can break it down. Now, the interesting thing there is you can see the total actual time of processing was 23 days. So if we had only run this in a series process, I would have waited nearly a month to actually get that information out. But it automatically sharded this out and basically did the query and came back with a result in the 1.8 hours. And it's up to you to decide if you want to do it faster or let it run on a slower basis. Now that we've got this in our relational store, what we want to do is actually run the query. We want to run the query that basically says, give us the list of the most successful offers for these certain types of demographics. Again, we can call our .NET library to break down our demographics. We can do our counts. And effectively what we do is the output of this, we're writing back to a TSV file. And we can use Azure Data Factory to now migrate that into the SQL data warehouse. Once it's in the SQL data warehouse, it's very easy for us to go and query this now with something like Power BI. So effectively what you're seeing on screen is a Power BI dashboard connected to Data Warehouse that's showing me this most successful offers for Japan against the demographic. So let's have a look at a mango smoothie and see who's buying it. And sure enough, it's a millennial female that's buying our mango smoothie. So when we're picking them up with the sensor, we can basically decide to put that offer in front of them based on that information. So what I'd like to do now is invite Ranga back on stage and actually give this a test run to see what offer we're going to decide. If you stand right there, stare at the camera, it's going to upload it.
Am I looking good, camera?
Oh, yeah. Good age. Great. And it's decided on the chips. Clearly, that's a great option. All right, let's swap over now.
It's going to recommend some kale, something.
So now it's picking me up. It's going to upload this and see if it's going to change it out. They say don't work with small children and connect sensors during live demos. No, we're going to try once more. Here we go. Uploading to Cortana Analytics. There we go, it's got me up and great. It knows that I'm of the age that I potentially have children and it's offering me the kids' meal. So
that's
thank
great.
You very much.
Get it hard, thank you.
Thanks
thank
a lot.
You. How do you like that slider? Just dial for parallelism. What shall we call it? Magic slider? I don't know. I'd like you to recommend some names for it. I'm very excited by that. I think that's sort of crystallizes the amazing simplicity and the productivity that we're bringing to big data. So I talked about apps, I talked about IoT, I talked about the fantastic analytics capabilities that we have. It's pretty clear to me that we have with us the core set of capabilities to turn data into intelligent action. We've seen several glimpses of that throughout the demos that you've seen. So the real question is, so what problem should we solve? You all know circumstances. You meet business leaders who say, everybody else is doing something, why can't I have that? I have this data available, can't you put that and that together and make recommendations for people? So the big question I ask everyone is, what is your data dream? Bring that to us. Let's get to work on your data dream. Thank you.